Good morning again. Why don't we take a moment, just bow our heads and ask God to anoint this time, if we will. Father God, your word says this: may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Father, you know what's been planned to speak, spoken about this morning. You know that. But Father, there are no words that could ever be brought to the table that have any power of themselves. Only those words that are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so I pray, Father God, now, that these words would be pleasing to you, but your Spirit would be present in this moment. I pray, Father God, that you would get the praise and the adoration due your name. And that which we say, that's what is said, and that's what we think upon will be to your glory and to your honor. Settle my heart, Lord. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. This past week, I had kind of an interesting experience that I wanted to share with you. I think this will be a little different in terms of a sermonizing, if you will. Maybe just a little different. This past week, I got a call from a neighbor who was going through a hard time. He was struggling. And so he asked me if I would be willing to get together and chat with him. And he thought that he would do best talking if he was walking on the rail trail. And so he said, you know, I proposed the time, and he proposed the time, all, you know, that email exchange back and forth kind of thing. And eventually, he made it clear that the best time to talk with him was going to be very, very early in the morning on the rail trail. Well, having that heart that wants to help, I said, sure. You know, and then I thought to myself, oh boy. But anyway, regardless of that, so it was cold that morning, and it was very dark, and so I put on, you know, some long johns and a sweatshirt, and I got my gloves and a hat, and off I went. And I met him at the rail trail head. And when I got there, it was so dark, and I guess my vision is not super good either, that I honestly didn't recognize his car that was parked there. And so, and then there's this guy standing there, and so I pulled in, and I thought, I hope this is him and not some wayward robber who's waiting for stupid people to come out and walk the rail trail at this early hour. Anyway, so I pulled in, finally figured out, okay, that's him, and I introduced myself, said, hey, is it you? And he said, oh, yeah, and he was all bundled up. And we started to walk. And I got to tell you, at that hour, which no one should be up at, that hour, that rail trail, although I'm familiar with it, the path was discernible, but barely. And I had to do one of those. You ever walked at night and you have to kind of make sure, you know, it's a little rough, and I'm looking at the ground, and I'm following the ground, and making sure I don't trip and fall. You know, hi, how are you? That doesn't sound very good. So I'm walking with him, and I'm noticing that around us, you can't even make out really with any clarity any of the details. In fact, it was so dark that at one point we actually came up on a deer. I think we scared the deer, and it certainly caught my attention. You know, I never saw it. And the only way I recognized that it was there is it bounded off, and I got a brief glimpse of its flag as it took off into the woods. I mean, that's dark. And we continued to walk, and he continued to unburden himself and share the stuff that was going on. He was really struggling, really struggling. And it seemed to me that the darkness of the trail seemed to in some way mirror the darkness that he was experiencing in his life. It almost seemed to amplify what he was going through. So I walk and walk, and no, I started to notice that the sun was coming up. You ever had those moments when the sun's kind of coming up and it's a little, you're just discerning, hey, it's getting a little lighter out. And I noticed I was walking a little more easy, and I was able to hold my head up a little better because I don't have to worry about tripping over the next, you know, rock or whatever. And I noticed that the temperature was coming up. So I took off my gloves, and then I took off my hat, and I was a little freer. And I even noticed there was a change in his demeanor, that as he was talking and sharing his burden, he actually took a moment. At one moment, he actually stopped, and he laughed. It was only a moment, and he said, boy, I needed to do that. I needed to laugh. And then we kept going, and the sun kept coming up, and it got warmer and nicer, and now the dark had passed, and I'm convinced that he left that place feeling a little lighter, a little less burdened, with a sense of hope, a sense of hope as he got in his car. And I got thinking about it as I drove away. I got thinking about the metaphor of that trail. Again, that picture that somehow that trail reminded me of this journey we're on in our lives. Sometimes the trail is just barely discernible to us. We look down, we have a basic idea where we're going, but sometimes the road ahead's not all that clear. And sometimes if we look too far down, it's a little scary because we're not really sure what's coming. And we're not all sure that what's coming will be good, because we can't see it all that clearly. And sometimes as we walk this journey, the details of our lives, they're harder to discern too. We can't really see it all that clear. There's such a swirl. Have you ever found your life as a swirl? There's just so much going on. And sometimes put all those together and you have a darkness, kind of shrouded in darkness. And so when that sun came up, he suddenly had a sense of hope. When that sun arises on that trail, we have some idea, oh, I can see a little farther down the trail. I got a better sense of what's around me now. I've got a way of getting grounded as I make my way down this road. And the darkness begins to lift and we begin to walk with a greater step, a greater hope. You ever experienced that? And as I left him, I kept thinking about that song by George Harrison. Here comes the sun, do-do-do-do. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. With the rising of the sun, there's a new hope. There's a hope. And this all got me to thinking. We're in this Christmas season. And I got thinking about that walk on the rail trail. And I got thinking about this passage from Isaiah. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. I like that. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Now, to the people of Israel, this must have been really good news, especially to the people of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now, for those of you who don't remember the story, right after the death of Solomon, the nation of Israel divided in half. Okay? And so Solomon's son, Rehoboam, was the king in the south, and there was a gentleman named Jeroboam. And they split. And they split into two kingdoms. 10 of the 12 tribes went to the south, and no, 2 of the 12 tribes went to the south, and the other 10 went north. And they just split up, and they distasted each other enough that there was often civil war between them. Now, in the south, generally speaking, they retained their commitment to following God. They had ups, they had downs, but generally speaking, they kept their eyes straight forward. But in the north, in the kingdom of Israel, they struggled from day one. They chased after every form of idolatry. They chased after every form of pagan worship and got into all kinds of occultic practices, and it just got worse and worse and worse. And the darkness was building and building. And it got even worse because eventually God brought judgment, and he brought judgment in the form of the Assyrian people. The Assyrians invaded that northern kingdom of Israel. And this land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali was their ancestral homes. Basically, the tribes each had a place that they were assigned in the promised land. And so Zebulun and Naphtali were given a certain area of Israel to occupy. But that area happened to be a place where the Assyrians would come down and invade. It was part of an invasion route. So in come the Assyrians. They'd come right down through Zebulun and Naphtali. They'd take over the whole country. But the people who got it the worst were probably the people of Zebulun and Naphtali. So when Isaiah was writing this, Isaiah was looking at a people who were in utter darkness in their minds. They were separated from God. They were invaded by a foreign power. They were surrounded by a foreign culture. Foreigners in their own land, the foreigners were the dominant culture. And on top of that, the scripture tells us that they were struggling with famine. They didn't have enough food. And so you can imagine what this nation was dealing with. And what's so interesting to me is when Isaiah writes, Isaiah reminds them by way of the Holy Spirit speaking into his life, saying, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali." So the truth is this. They were in the spot they were in because God had brought judgment to them. It wasn't an accident. God had overseen this, and God had allowed the Assyrians to come through and bring this judgment upon them. But nevertheless, there'll be no more gloom for those who are in distress. Isn't that good news? Now think on this. We all struggle in a variety of ways. Sometimes we struggle because of choices we've made. I mean, if we're honest, made a dumb choice, and I'm paying the penalty for that. Sometimes we suffer because of the dumb and sinful choices of others. Right? They do something shouldn't have done. Ungodly, wrong, and yet it affects my life, and I have to pay the penalty for what they've done. Whew, tough place to be. Sometimes we suffer because we live in a broken world, a world that is generally distorted by sin. It's a mess of a place. And sometimes, not because of any particular sin, but because of the brokenness of this world, we suffer. We pay the price. Think of this as sickness, the sickness that comes into our life. That wasn't part of the original creation. It's the brokenness of this world, and it plays upon the weaknesses of our body. And we suffer. But regardless of how these troubles come into our lives, regardless of what root they're from, I look at these words and I think of the darkness that came upon Israel, that darkness that was rested upon Zebulun and Naphtali, a darkness that God had brought upon them as judgment, and yet, even though it was their fault, and even though they were paying the penalty, God is making clear that nevertheless there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. He had already, even as he brought judgment, even as he was struggling, he had already brought the promise of restoration and the promise of redemption. No matter how we get to where we are, no matter what brought us to our place of darkness and trial and struggle, we need to remember, people, that God has already made provision for our restoration and our redemption. What an awesome God that is. He's already prepared a way for us to be made whole. And it's better than that, because he goes on to say this. He says, "But in the future, he, God, will honor Galilee." That restoration that was coming, that restoration wasn't simply a return to the status quo. It was actually an increase. It was actually an honoring. So this talks about complete and total restoration. How cool is that? So when we're struggling, when we're in that dark place, when we're walking that rail trail of life and things are dark and gloomy, he says, nevertheless, there'll be no more gloom for those who are in distress. And I take hope in that. And then he says this, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." So not only has he made provision, but he's announcing it as a done deal. Now, they're not experiencing it in that moment, right? They're still under the invasion of the Assyrians. But look what he says. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." They have seen it. He's speaking the promise, and he's making it clear that that promise, upon his speaking it, is already done. What he promises us, gang, what God promises us, he fulfills. He will never, ever be found wanting. Ever. Now, indeed, his timing is different than ours, and that can create frustration for us. Sometimes we can think that because the timing hasn't come, because it seems like he's not there, that we can act as though he's not coming and he's not up to his promises, right? It's like being on hold with customer service. I don't like customer service. I mean, they're good-hearted, I guess. But you know, inevitably a call, and I get them on the phone, and they say this: "Yes, Mr. Smith, your question is very important to us, so please wait." Boo, doo, 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 doo. And the music starts, and I know once the music starts, it's done. It's done. I'm going to be forever in the loop of customer service. They may never, ever come to me again. And so have you ever done the thing where you walk around the house going, that's what we do in my house, walk around the house. Sometimes when the kids were little, just give the phone to them. Here, take it. You know, when there's little people, toddler, walking around with a phone like that, waiting for it to click on. And you know in your heart of hearts that it's very likely that you may actually be forgotten. But you see, God isn't like customer service. When we come to God, we know that He's made provision for us. He desires for us to be restored. He desires for us to be redeemed. He desires that for us, and what He desires happens. And so when we're talking to God and we're looking to God to fill us, when we're asking God to make His presence known, to help us through, He is going to. We got to continue to fix our eyes on Him, be looking for the way He's making provision. See, when you're on customer service, you start doing other things. You do the dishes, you vacuum, you do whatever, right? Because you're not really sure it's going to come through. And when that happens, sometimes the person actually does come through, but you don't know it. Because you've gotten doing other things. Well, sometimes with God, if we don't believe that He's going to come through, if I don't believe He's a God of His word, then what happens is I start putting my hope in other stuff. And I start thinking about other things, and I start spending my time in other ways. And then I miss out on seeing His small and quiet provisions that are there lifting me up and helping me make my way through the trial. I'm utterly convinced that the times that I can look back and say, you know, I'm not sure God was present. Actually, He was more than present. It's just I missed what He was doing. So God speaks through Isaiah. And God speaks to this people through Isaiah, and He brings them this word of hope. And I got to believe that this was, they were excited by this. And then He goes down. If we looked a little farther down in the passage, if you look down around verse 6, you'd see that the way He was going to bring this light was going to show itself in the birth of a child. Now, we have to recognize that Isaiah was speaking to a specific people at a specific time. He was addressing specific issues, specific concerns. But Isaiah was also speaking through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And whether he knew it or not, Isaiah was actually speaking 700 years into the future to a time when God would bring a restoration that was far greater than any national restoration or national time of honoring. And He did that, and we're told about that. Oh, I'm going to do this. Did that in Matthew. This stuff gives me chills. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, He withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, He went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in a darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Now, Isaiah was speaking again into his time period, but he was looking out. Unbeknownst to him, I suspect, he was looking out. And God had already made provision for a greater and greater redemption and restoration for Israel. Because he knew that there was only one way that Israel was going to be truly redeemed, and that would be is if he brought his son, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And in that way, he also brought that light into our lives, because he knows that there's only one way that you and I can ever be made right and restored and redeemed to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. What wonderful news. Oh, the sun's coming up on the rail trail. The darkness and the stuff that we deal with is all part of the trail. But Jesus is the light at the end of the rail trail. He's the light that's rising in the east. He's the light that's reminding us that He's here and that God has given us hope and that God has promised us restoration and redemption and honor. And as we fix our eyes on Him, as we set our hearts and minds on Him, this trail of life gets a little lighter. We start to see things a little differently. The details make a little more sense. As I make my way through this life, fixed on the fact that my Lord is at the end and my Lord is risen in the east, my Lord is come and my rail trail is lit up, it changes my life. As I make my way through the day, I have a better sense of how He's at work. You know, I don't understand why I'm going through this trouble or this trial or this struggle, but I know that He's come, and I know the sun's up on the trail, and I know that I have hope. And I like that. And when I think about that Christ coming, his son coming up the end of the rail trail, and the provision that's been made for us, and the hope that I have in him, then I'm able to walk a little lighter. I don't know if you know this or not. Maybe you don't experience it quite the same way. But I know in the last month, I feel like I've been utterly inundated by people's pain. And I began to notice some things. You know, I think we are walking in days of darkness. You ever notice the drip, drip, drip of the violence and degradation that's committed against people who are made in God's image? See the news? This constant stream. That's walking in darkness. And have you also noticed that in the media now, we're getting all kinds of details about the lurid behaviors of this one and that one? And it's all condemnable in the press. But isn't it interesting that the same press and the same industry that finds it all so reprehensible is the same one that produces and celebrates the same nonsense? Not making sense to me, but it adds to the darkness. And then we have the perpetual governmental stuff going on, and people's concerns about the government and foreign powers. And then we have on top of that this notion that somehow seems like everyone walks around, everyone's too big. Lots of people seem to walk around in a perpetual state of offense, getting ready to be offended. Hi, how are you? I'm about ready to be offended. What are you going to say that's going to offend me? That's a symptom of darkness, you know. That's a symptom of darkness. And that's on a national scale. Underneath, on an individual level, there are people struggling with pain and hurt and sickness and trials of all sorts. Incredible burdens placed upon them. It's all part and parcel of the darkness we live in. We are a people who are desperately in need of being reminded of the hope we have. Because that darkness could overtake us. It could feel like it's going to overtake us unless we remember that the sun is rising on the rail trail. That the sun has risen on the rail trail. And that sun is going to continue to light our way, and we are going to have a future. We have a hope. We have a hope. We don't have to put our hope in governmental entities. We don't have to put our hope in making sure that everybody doesn't offend us. We don't have to put our hope in somehow never getting sick. We don't have to put our hope in anything other than to fix our eyes on him and remember he is our hope. He is our stay. He is where I need to fix my eyes. And he's promised the end of that rail trail. He's promised that it will never perish or spoil. He's promised that it's an inheritance that is wonderful, more wonderful than we can ask or imagine. The sun is risen on the rail trail. So the darkness and the trials you're going through, they're real, they're painful, they're absorbing. But in the season of Advent, in this morning, I'd remind you that they don't win. He's the hope. And he's come. And he's true to his word. And he's the one who brings promise. He's the one who can be depended on. He's where I'm going to fix my eyes. So walk your trail. Walk with the knowledge that the sun's up. Walk with the hope that he's going to lighten your way all the more. He can be counted on. The sun's come up on the rail trail. Let's remember. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for this day, and we pray that these words and meditations have been glorifying to you. We entrust ourselves to your care. Help us to remember in this Advent time of the great hope we have in Christ Jesus. Help us to remember, Father God, where we place our hope. Let us trust in you and walk where we must walk. knowing that you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus, my Savior, my God, our Savior, and our God. Amen.